Exodus chapter 4. You'll see how long that baby is good. Cut off those overhead lights, please. Exodus chapter 4, starting at verse 14. The message today is first, Moses' departure from Midian, but that isn't enough. It has to also include and his return to Egypt. His departure from Midian and return to Egypt. So, let me read you the rest of the fourth chapter starting at verse 13. Moses is having an interview with the Lord, and the Lord is giving him every reason that he should go to Egypt, and Moses is giving him every reason he should not. And finally, this is what he says in verse 13. Moses said, O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. Do you remember what Isaiah said? Isaiah said, Here am I, send me. But when God tells Moses, he said, O Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, Is there not Aaron thy brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put the words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what you shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And it shall come to pass that he shall be to thee a mouth, and thou shalt be to him as God. And thou shalt take in thy hand this rod wherewith thou shalt do the signs. And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren that are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive. And Jethro said to Moses, Go in peace. And the Lord said to Moses in Midian, Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead that sought thy life. And Moses took his wife and his sons, and set them upon a donkey. And he returned to the land of Egypt, and Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest back into Egypt, see that thou do before Pharaoh all the wonders which I put in thy hand. But I will harden his heart, and he will not let the people go. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, my firstborn. And I have said unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And thou hast refused to let him go. Behold, I will slay thy son, thy firstborn. And it came to pass on the way at the lodging place that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a flint and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet. And she said, Surely, a bridegroom of blood art thou to me. So he let him alone. Then she said, A bridegroom of blood art thou, because of the circumcision. And the Lord said to Aaron, Go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the mountain of God, and kissed him. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord wherewith he had sent him, and all the signs wherewith he had charged him. And Moses and Aaron went, and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had seen their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worship. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we are thankful for the biographies of men that thou dost give us. Our God, we are thankful for all the things that you can teach us through them. Thou dost know, our God, that we should have hearts that are attentive, but our God, so often we have hearts that fail to take knowledge of the things that we see in others. But we pray that this day, our God, you shall help us to understand. We pray, our Father, that you shall enable us to grasp the things that your Spirit would teach us, and so prepare our hearts, our God, and empower the lips of him who speaks. And we confess our sins, be faithfully just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. If it had been left up to Moses to lead Midian, he never would have left. But after God set aside every objection that Moses gave, what is so sad is this, that his last answer was this. In other words, well, if you have to have somebody to go, I will go, but I would prefer to have you send somebody else. And it angered God. Have you ever read the scripture about grieve not the Holy Spirit of God? Do you understand that God can be grieved and God can be angered? Have you ever made God angry? Or are you quick, like Isaiah? Here am I, send me. Well, not all of God's servants are like that, but some are like Moses, and some are like Jonah. And God gently persuades Moses. When it came to Jonah, he persuaded him in a way that was irresistible. What happens is this. Thank God for his patience with Moses. Thank God for his insistence upon Jonah. But sad words are these. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. The worst thing is when God lets you alone. For that reason, a commendable thing that God says of Moses is this. Moses is different from all others. Moses is faithful in all my house. Do you know when he said that? Not before he left Midian, but many years after he left Midian. And had he not, at the insistence of God, left Midian, these words would never have been spoken of God concerning Moses. He spoke them in the book of Numbers when others were criticizing Moses. He said he was faithful in all his house. But I tell you that Moses was a failure in Midian in his own house. And I'm emphasizing this today because it is Father's Day, and I could wish that what I'm saying now could be said at the next meeting, because probably more will be there then. But this has to be in chronological order. And I tell you that Moses was unfaithful in his own house. There are some things that God will tolerate in your life if you have one position in the church. But if you are to have another position in the church, God will not tolerate these things. When Moses was in Midian, away from the teaching of his father, Amram, his mother, Jochebed, and was with a priest, Reuel, Jethro, who taught some things about God, but did not know all about God the way that the direct descendants of Abraham, through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Levi, Kohath, Amram, they did not have that knowledge of God. God tolerated Moses' partial obedience to the things that he knew. But now God has called Moses for this special position. He said, you are to be shepherd of my people Israel. You are to lead Israel from bondage as sheep to the promised land. And finally, when Moses agreed, there was something in his house that was so unacceptable to God that it is incredible that we read these words, that God sought to slay Moses. Why? Because of a neglect that had occurred during his marriage and the birth of his children. Think of this. Here is Moses, the chosen leader of the children of Israel, and as in Genesis 17, so also in Leviticus, it is taught and is going to be taught that on the eighth day, the flesh of the skin of your children, the foreskin of your children, shall be circumcised. And Moses had failed to circumcise at least one of his children. You say, well, that is of no consequence. It says in the New Testament that circumcision is not anything. That's in the New Testament. But up until that time, the Bible says, the law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Until then, the law is in force. And Christ said, I came not to destroy the law and the prophets, but to fulfill. And think of God. God will have no hypocrites. God will have no leaders of his people that are not able to lead his own household. That's what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 3. It speaks about those that are to be elders. And one of the qualifications is this. It says, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all reverence. Because if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Now, consider what was about to happen. God is going to instruct Moses to instruct these Israelites whom he is taking out of Egypt. You are to circumcise all the males the eighth day in the foreskin. And this is essential. It is the sign of my covenant, the physical sign of the covenant that exists between me and the nation of Israel. And Moses is up telling them all of these things. And his children are not circumcised. Moses should have seen that, and Moses should have done something about it. Here is the marvel. Who knows how old Abraham was when he was circumcised? Does any brother remember? He was 99 years old. And as soon as God told him, it says, the self-same day Abraham submitted to circumcision. And you have a son named Ishmael, 13 years old, and it says, he circumcised Ishmael that day. You see the difference between Abraham and Moses? Moses had been circumcised by Amram and Jochebed, his parents, and perhaps Gershom had been circumcised, but Eliezer, his younger son, had not been circumcised. And it was so important to God that God attempted to slay Moses. God is not going to tolerate such things. And that is why there is heavier judgment. It says, concerning those that desire to be teachers, it said, you shall receive the heavier judgment. Now, there are some things that you can get by with, But there's some things that you would not tolerate in me. Why? Because you have chosen me to be one who teaches you. And suppose I was one who taught you to give to God, but never gave to God, and taught you to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, and I had children, and they ran wild, and I did nothing to correct them, to make them follow the path of God. How do you think that would be in God's sight? How would it be in your sight? And God said, this thing is not going to be. And we found out that whereas it was said of Moses later in life, he is faithful in all my house, Moses had been a failure in his own house. Because the man is the head of the wife, but Zipporah had so controlled him that he had not circumcised Eliezer, and he had been so in subjection to his wife's wishes that he had neglected the circumcision of his child. Now, what is so important about God meeting Moses in the way, and he's on the way to Egypt now, but this hasn't been taken care of before he left. And so God met him and sought to slay him, and immediately Zipporah knew why the judgment of God was falling upon him. And so she went and got a flint and circumcised her son. And she took the skin and cast it at the feet of Moses and said, a bridegroom of blood are you to me. And then it's explained why. Because of the circumcision. Do you not understand that God realized that when he said, this is the sign of the covenant that exists between you and me, that he would not understand that there was going to be the shedding of blood involved when all the males 8 days old were circumcised? Do you not understand that God understood that? But some of the things that God tells us to do are repulsive to the flesh, and to those that say, why, it's cruel to children. Why, we're mutilating our children. And God says, it's so important to me that I'm prepared to put Moses to death unless this rite of circumcision is carried out. And so I want you to think, all of you who look upon what God desires of us and demands of us, and you say, well, I do not think it's so important. God is unconcerned with whether you think it's important. He says, it's so important that Moses is not going to be the leader of my children Israel unless his house is ruled and his house is under control. And therefore, Zipporah knew what was wrong. And so she who had caused the failure of her son to be circumcised immediately circumcised her son. And then it says, God left off doing harm to Moses. Is it not sad that some of you wives and some of you husbands have to be brought to the point of death before you are made to do the things that you should do in the life of your children? It means nothing to you. You pay no attention to it. But if your husband is ready to die, perhaps some of you would do it, and some of you in laugh would say, oh no. But in all seriousness, God says, it's this important to me. It speaks about what women should do, the way they should dress, the way they should be in subjection, the way they should adorn themselves. And listen, it says, this woman, she is beautiful in the sight of God. And so I do not care what you think of me if I insist on having all the commandments of God carried out that our Savior has given us. I am interested what God thinks if I do not have those things carried out. Because you say, they are of minor importance. To God, they are of the greatest importance to the point of death. Like when God said to Jonah, doest thou well to be angry? He said, I do well unto death to be angry. And so all of you fathers and mothers and parents who are supposed to be responsible, look at the life of your children and do not say it is of no importance. It is of such importance that it can be the destroying or the making of your children. Now, this. There are some things in the New Testament church that God commands that are unpleasant to some. And that is the same God who said, a sign of my covenant with the Jews is circumcision in the flesh of all male children. And God said, a sign of my order of creation in women is that a woman be covered when she prays or prophesies. And so you say, well, that is of no importance to me, of no great importance. No. And circumcision was of no great importance to Zipporah or to Moses, but it was to God. You say, a woman's covering, what does it mean? Someday I may teach you about that, the significance, the full significance of a woman's covering. It says, when a woman is covered, I accept my position in creation, that the man is my head, and I willingly submit to it, and I do it in honor of God who commanded it. Zipporah said, I abhor this sign of the covenant that exists between you and the children of Israel, and I'm not going to have my son circumcised. And so you do not realize it. But when you're praying or prophesying with your head uncovered, you're saying to God, it is of no importance to me, and I do not accept the teachings of creation. You see, in Christ there is neither male nor female. And in Christ we are seated in heavenly places. But until the time that Christ comes and all those distinctions are taken away, it's just like some who say, why, I'm saved in Christ. I am like Christ. I have no sinful nature. And God says, if you say you have no sin, you are lying. You are deceived. And in like manner, if you say that these distinctions do not exist today, why, you are deceived as well. And Zipporah registered her objection until it meant the death of her husband. And then she submitted to it. And think of this. So little was she in subjection to him and in harmony with the commandments of God that she flung the skin at his feet and said, you are a bloody bridegroom to me. How sad that a woman would have to accept the covering and say, yes, you are my head. And yes, I will accept circumcision, but you're a bloody bridegroom to me. That same thing happened one time, and I've seen what's happening concerning small things like that, about the Lord's Supper, how unimportant it is. That's just a meeting that's tacked on. It is of the greatest importance, but concerning the woman's covering, I remember hearing of an assembly that had a meeting of the elders. And the elders told the women, we hereby authorize you, if you do not want to be covered, to come uncovered. You do not have that jurisdiction. Why not let the elders of Israel say, in Moses' time, we hereby authorize you not to circumcise your children, because we are the elders and you cannot overrule what God has ordained. And so this is the folly of what's going on today. And as tiny as we are in Goldsboro, we lost another family. This was some years ago because of this. I told you that in Midian, God let things pass. But when Moses was going as the leader of Israel down to Egypt, he said, this is not going to pass. And we had a lovely couple in Goldsboro. And the sister who came out was never covered. It was made known that God would be pleased if she were covered, but it was never insisted upon. She was told. Until one time, it was announced that we needed Sunday school teachers, and this lovely Christian woman came up and said, I offer you my services. We said, we thank you for that. Now, if you're going to teach children, if you're going to prophesy and take this position of authority, you will have to be covered. And she went home and told her husband, and they both left the meeting, took their family away. And I went Many times there are those that you would understand and not regret their departure. But in this case, she was a lovely Christian woman. And I went and I said, why is this? And she let me know. She said, I know I'm to be covered, and I would be covered. And the husband said, I will tell you why. He said, I work with important men. And what if businessmen came and saw these women with those silly little things on their heads? No, my wife is not going to be covered. Now, I know one prominent man who would say, well, disregard it. It makes no difference. Yes. Well, Zipporah was not able to get off that easy. Disregard it. I want you to understand what importance it was to God in this rite and what importance to God it is in two things. There are so few things that God has told us. In the law, there were 10,000 things, he said, the 10,000 things of my law. But when a woman is in church, she is not to pray or prophesy. And when she does, wherever she is to be covered. At the same time, a man is not to be covered. He is the head of the woman. When someone trusts Christ as Savior, they are to submit to Christian baptism. Those few things. And so if someone is saved, you elders have no right to say, baptism is unimportant. If you don't want to be baptized, you do not have to be baptized. You may set that aside. Do you not realize that when you say such a thing, you are saying the same as Zipporah said to Moses? And Moses was prevailed over by his wife, the way that Adam was prevailed over by his wife. And so as much as you love your wife, and husbands love your wives, they do not rule the household, and they do not tell you what God's word says. When it's plain, you do what God's word says. Now, here is something that will be of great interest to you. Moses is leaving Midian with his wife and children, but after this meeting at the lodging concerning the circumcision, you hear of them no more until chapter 18, and she and her children who were going with Moses down to Egypt were sent back by Moses to their father and grandfather, and they stayed there while Moses went to Egypt and delivered the children of Israel, and only had his wife and children brought into his company again after all the plagues of Egypt. Think of this now, that Moses understood that this woman will be a thorn in my side. She will be one who hinders my effort to do the will of God, and therefore he did not divorce her. This is what is so remarkable. I just read recently, this woman, who in the world is a sinner, she said, I've become a Christian now, and I'm divorcing my husband because he doesn't like it. A contradiction to everything. And here is Moses. He does not divorce the woman, but he sends her to be in the safety of her home. And as soon as Israel is delivered from Egypt, then she comes back with Gershom and Eliezer, and then together they head toward the promised land. I want you to remember these things, because this is the difficulty that Moses had in leaving Midian. You have to set your house in order, and you have to keep it in order, and be good fathers, whatever the consequences are. Good fathers. But you do it. You speak the truth in love. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt. But the things of God take precedent over everything else. Even Balaam, that false prophet, knew it. When Balak was trying to get him to curse Israel, and God put certain words in his mouth, he said, I must do what God commands me. So all of you fathers and you mothers, you take that to heart and see how the life of your children and of your husband and of yourself, all of these things are involved if you disobey the commands of God. Now, let me tell you something that will be helpful. I know at least how old these boys are that Moses was taking to Egypt. And it says Moses took his wife and his sons and put them on a donkey and was going to Egypt. Now think of these three people, a woman and two grown sons riding on one donkey. You say, that's unthinkable. Is he so poor? No. I suggest this, that at times, just like it says in the New Jerusalem, it speaks about the tree of life that bears fruits. It is a generic term. You see, I enjoy the palm tree. It means, and it includes others, because Moses may have walked, but he had a donkey for his wife and his two sons for this reason. I tell you that Eliezer, some say he must have been a baby. No, for this reason, and I want you to think. Moses, when he married Zipporah, was 40 years old. She must have been 15 to 20 years old. And so let's say 20 years old. And a woman can only have children unless miracles take place. They only have children until they are about 50 years old. And if this is so, then for the 30 years, she could have had children, and that left another 10 years. And so Eliezer would be 10 years or more of age when he was circumcised. And Gershom was older than that. And that is why you do not have a 20 or 30-year-old boy riding on a donkey with a 10-year-old boy and a mother riding on a donkey. The poor donkey, it wouldn't make it to Egypt, you see. And so you have them riding on donkeys. But now, what happens is this. This mighty army is going to confront Pharaoh and deliver Egypt. And what do we have? We have a shepherd, 80 years old, with a staff in his hand, walking along with his wife and children on donkeys. Isn't that a great army to confront Egypt? And then, after he meets Aaron, we have Aaron and Moses, and Zipporah and the children go home, and so the mighty army going to confront Pharaoh in Egypt consists of Moses and Aaron and a rod. It says, the weakness of God is stronger than man. So God, when he's going to deliver, does it this way. And you laugh and you say, why is that? Because the Savior said, my strength is made perfect in weakness. But let me tell you about this. How good Moses was in some respects, and how sad his departure was from Midian. Remember that Zipporah had six sisters, and there was Hobab, her brother. And so think in those 40 years of those other sisters getting married, and all of the children that were born, and Hobab. And here are Gershom and Eliezer, and they have all their cousins that they know, and they play with them. They're settled, and all the in-laws, and Moses has to leave his brother-in-law and his sisters-in-law, and all the children, all the relatives, he has to do that. And he has to leave his good father-in-law because Jethro was a good man. And so that is what he has to break away with. And he's willing to do it. And so he gives his father Jethro just a little information. He says, I want to go and see if my brethren are yet alive. Now, let's think back. Because we want to know if those that he left in Israel 40 years ago are yet alive. And I wonder if any brother can tell me for sure if his father and mother are still alive. Do I see a head going this way or that way? They were alive. Now how do I know that? Simply this. It says, at least Amram lived to be 137 years of age, and Moses is 80 years of age. Let's say he didn't have Moses until he was 40 years old. If that is so, then he would be 120 years old, and he lived to be 137 years old. And so he was alive. Unless he had died under the burden of making bricks, and his mother, Jochebed. Perhaps she lived that long. We are not told, except for Sarah, how old women lived to be. But yes, so think. He goes back, and unless some accident has happened to his father, and it doesn't matter, his father is still alive because he lives to be 137 years old. And so when he gets back into Egypt, you remember that his father was Amram, and he had brothers Amram, Izhar, Hebron, and Uzziel. And they had children, and I could tell you about. And so here are all of Moses' cousins that are in Egypt that were with him. And so when he goes back, his father is there, and perhaps his mother and his cousins, and he sees all of those that he left 40 years before. Think of that. Now, here's another touching scene. Moses has not seen Aaron, his brother, for 40 years. When Moses left Egypt, Aaron was 43 years old. And when Moses left, he was 40 years old. So think of a man 40 years old, and then think of a man 80 years old. And so this young Moses with strength and also black hair would be the one who left. And now Aaron looks at him and he kisses him, but he sees a man 80 years of age. And Moses sees a man 83 years of age. But they know one another, they love one another, and they embrace, and God miraculously brings them together. Before we read anything about God saying words to Aaron to go and meet Moses, he told Moses in advance, Aaron is coming to meet you. How would Aaron know anything about the plans of God? God told Aaron and directed him, Aaron is coming from Egypt and Moses is coming from Midian, and God arranges it so that they meet and they are together. And then, just as Moses would tell certain things to Aaron, Aaron would tell certain things to Moses. He would want to know, how are my brethren faring? When I left, there was this cruelty. And Aaron would have to tell him, it's worse than it's ever been before. And Moses could tell Aaron, well, I want you to understand that this will not last long, because God is sending me to deliver Israel, and I want you to understand that he has appointed you as my mouthpiece. And so you and I, under the guidance and empowering of God, are going to Egypt to free the children of Israel. And so now the doors are open, and I suppose that means it's time to stop, so you'll have to come back the next hour in the will of God. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for fathers. We thank you that we understand the difficulty in bringing up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Having wives that do not assist us but pull against us, or wives having husbands that pull against them, we pray for husbands and wives that are Christians, that want to have children, that grew up to be like the Lord Jesus. So give them wisdom to know what to teach them, and give them strength and give them conviction to do it. And our Father, be not grieved and be not displeased and angered with us for our laxness, but give us wisdom and let us be good parents that bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord.